Welcome to the Pascal Ngwe Podcast. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant and growing church with branches across South Africa. Pastor Pascal is an anointed teacher of the Word of God who makes the Bible to come alive. Get ready to be empowered as you listen to the Word of God.
I would like to quickly encourage every mother that is here this morning. You know, we don't take for granted your presence. Many mothers are not really honored in their homes. They do a lot, and they are not truly appreciated for what they do. Hallelujah. And we have committed ourselves as a ministry to honor parents, to honor those to whom honor is due. Praise the Lord. No matter what, your mother deserves your honor. Amen. And I want to quickly talk to the mothers this morning. And you look all lovely and all nice. No wonder our fathers chose you. If you are looking this nice, I just imagine how you were looking when you were younger. Praise the Lord. Amen. So I want to talk quickly to the mothers. And I just want to tell you that actually you are destiny shapers. Many of the things that we learn them usually from our mothers. The mother doesn't just give birth to life. A mother can actually direct the course of that life. As I'm talking about you being a destiny shaper. Amen? Praise the Lord. And I want you to look at a few things with me. I want you to talk to the mothers quickly. Is that okay? Can I talk? Yes. Quickly talk to the mothers. Judges chapter 13 verse 24. The Bible says the woman gave birth to a boy. And she named him Samson. And he grew, and the Lord blessed him. Now, as you go in the Word, you will see this recurring ever so often. That unlike today, and I think if it's not even just today, in certain cultures, children are still getting their names from their mothers. And I know it's in other cultures, children are getting their names from their dads. But if you look at the Eastern culture, all right, if you look at where Jesus was born and where he grew, Israel, most of those areas, the child's name will always come from the mother. Say with me, destiny shaper.
Destiny shaper.
Now, unfortunately, as you go through the world, you will notice that sometimes the mother will name the child not based on the child's destiny per se, but based on what she is going through as she is giving birth to that child. Hello, somebody. Like she is going through something, and she will actually memorize that and put a memory to that thing that she went through. In other words, she doesn't want to forget that thing that happened when she was giving birth to this child. So she will actually stigmatize the child with that name. Are you catching what I'm saying? 1 Chronicles 4 verse 9. You are now hearing Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. I gave birth to him in pain. So she was just trying to not forget what happened to her when she was giving birth to this boy. But what she didn't understand is that she's a destiny shaper. And that as she is naming him Jabez, meaning pain, his life is going to be a life of pain. And I assure you, precious people, Jabez needed to meet God for himself later and beg God to change this story about him, because his entire destiny had been rearranged based on this name, his entire destiny. I would like to draw the attention of my dear mothers. You are destiny shapers. You are destiny shapers. Now, I'm going to take you a little bit more on this. Just we don't have much time, but I want to quickly drop something in the heart of the mothers. Hallelujah. Beyond the food you cook, beyond the milk you give, your words shape the destiny of your child. I assure you, what comes out of your mouth can actually determine what the child is going to become. Why? Because most of the time, daddy is not home. Most of us spend, it's proven that if you were to put daddy and mommy here, and you came with a gun and you asked any child who must die, they will all point the father. They said, this man must die. All of them, they will all, I'm telling you, more than 90% of children will gratify, say, no, daddy, you can go. We are okay. We are okay. Oh, you don't want to hear, I shouldn't say things like that. I'm telling you the truth. As unfair as it is, the truth is, mama spent more time with the child. I mean, you think about it. As far as we start as a disadvantage, the child is with her for 9 months already. They are bonding. After that, she carries him for many, many days. They are bonding more. You are going to work. She's spending the whole day with this child, talking to the child. So she has a great opportunity to shape the destiny of the child. And if she knows her power, she can shape the destiny of that child in a way that this child, many of the great men that you know today, they will tell you their mother's involvement is very greatly, it's a big part of what they become. I want to talk to the mothers. You are not a nobody. You are not just giving birth to children and their destiny is in the hands of time. No! Your words are very powerful. Very, very powerful. Praise the Lord. 1 Samuel 4 verse 21. Are we blessed? This is another mother. She named her boy Ichabod, saying, the glory has departed from Israel. I'm talking about women who allow their current circumstances to cause them to give a stigma to the child for the rest of his life. Like maybe when you were pregnant with this child, your husband didn't like the pregnancy. Or he wanted a boy and now you became aware that you have a girl. And from that moment, or you wanted to get married and you felt pregnant without realizing that you were pregnant. And from that moment, you are shaping the destiny of the child without even realizing it. You wanted to finish school, but nobody asked you to go and start getting busy. Now you are busy and the baby is here. And because the baby is here, you will hate the baby. She called the child Ichabod, meaning the glory has departed. Imagine carrying a name like that, Ichabod. 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 Everywhere you go, Ichabod. Ichabod. When they are calling you to get your grades, Ichabod, come and take your grades. Ichabod, come and take Maguya. Ichabod, come. Ichabod. Ichabod. The glory has departed. Now listen to me. I'm talking about mothers being destiny shapers. And the reason why most of these mothers kept going this way is because they didn't know who they are. They didn't realize they are actually shaping the destiny of their children. I think if they were aware of this message, if they have Pastor Pascal as their pastor, I don't think they were going to name the children Ichabod and all of these things. Bo Ichabod, Bo Jabez and all of these things. Sometimes you have a very nice name in your ID, but the name that they are calling you at home is actually the one that might work more. The one that are calling you at home. The words that your mother constantly releases in your direction, they are the ones that will shape your destiny if care is not taken. I've shared the story of this young girl who misbehaved towards her mother. And one day she angered her mother seriously. And her mother looked at her and her mother told her, "You will sell beans all your life." And the child took those words lightly because she was in university. And she went, "Me, selling beans. I think you missed your target." Guess what? She graduated. Everything. Came right back home and sold beans by the roadside. Mothers are destiny shapers. What comes out of your mouth has more power than what the teacher is telling the children in school. Use your words to bless your children. Use your word to speak life to your children. Use your words to you must always bless them. I remember my mother, my sisters used to always make her angry. And I never knew. I've shared it here many times. She will always say, "I know you want me to say something, but I will not say it." That was always, I think she was saying that to help herself to not say something bad. So every time my sisters would misbehave, she will say, "I know you want me to say something, but I will not say it. I will not say it." Why? Because if I say it, it will work. No matter where you are, those words will pursue you and they will harass you. Now, so mothers can teach because they have more time with the children. My mother taught me how to tithe. My mother taught me to fear God. My father was never there. So as a mother, that time you have with the child, don't waste it. Take that time to put the right things in your child's heart. Praise the Lord. Maybe some of us, we've already missed it. The children have even left home now. They have turned into dinosaurs and all kinds of things. But you can still do something about it. You can use your mouth to pray for this child. You cannot turn into a praying mother. A praying mother. A praying mother. I tell you, the prayers of a mother have power. But another lesson I want to teach mothers that I learned here, Psalm 31 verse 1. Proverbs 31 verse 1. The words of King Lemuel, the utterance, who taught him? Come on. King Lemuel is the nickname of King Solomon. When he doesn't want you to know who he is, he calls himself Lemuel. But that's Solomon. Do you understand? Like King Solomon's, his other name was Lemuel. And he said, the words of King Lemuel, the utterance his mother taught him. Do you remember who was the father of Solomon? King David. But here he's referring to his mother. His mother. Things that his mother taught him, and today he is king. Look at the things the mother taught him. Verse 2. What, my son? And what, son of my womb? What, son of my vows? Hallelujah. Do you see how she's talking? You are the son of my womb. And you are the son of my vows. Hallelujah. NIV this verse. If you don't mind, you will see something there. If you NIV the verse. Okay, they're all saying the same thing. Oh, my son. Oh, son of my womb. Oh, son of my vows. Hallelujah. Amen. Go to verse 2. Verse 3.
give up your strength to women.
Oh.
This is Mama advising her son. She says to her son, my boy, don't give your strength to what? So every time you are busy with a woman, you think you are enjoying. This mother understood that when you are with a woman, she is taking your strength. There's a dancing star that gave a testimony. One of the reasons he's dancing better now is that he's no more sleeping with women. And they say, what is the connection between dancing star? And he said, no. After I sleep with a woman, my body doesn't dance well again. The strength, your strength, don't give it to women.
Hello. Financial strength. Women can take your financial strength. Hello.
Ah! Your little money.
Amba Papa, give me the money. I need a new dress.
I saw a dress when I was walking in the mall. Oh, baby, I must have this dress. I must have this dress. She is taking your financial strength.
I shouldn't say these things to the manners.
This is what is going on. He says, do not give your strength to women. They take your strength. The strength of your time. Your time is actually the currency of your destiny. Destiny is built with time. Like you need time to do anything. And when women take your, they like to talk. Attention. Now you have three. You have three of them. You are finished. You will never achieve anything in this life. They're taking everything. They strengthen. Know your ways to that which destroy kings. A woman can destroy a king. I mean, a great destiny can be destroyed by women. Happens all the time. You know what is interesting? Can I tell you what is very interesting? Is that, unfortunately, Solomon never listened to this advice of his mother. The guy went and got married 300 wives. And 700 concubines. Like, he went exactly against this verse. Then I asked myself, what could make a person, the mother advise him nice? He went exactly against the mother. The Holy Ghost told me, check mama herself. The woman advising the son is Beersheba. Beersheba has finished in David already. She had finished in David. After she finished in David, she came and said to Solomon, my son, don't look at women. The boy says, baby, mommy, it's too late. I've already seen this thing. I'm going to do this thing. Hey, mommy, it's too late. Can I tell you something? The advice is better when you leave it. Not just when you say it. The advice is more powerful when you are the living advice. And then you are telling the child, my child, you must pray. But you never pray. He will not do what you say. He will do what you do. Don't just teach by talking nice. She had great utterance. The son of my womb. Hey, these are powerful words. Now. The son of my womb. The boy said, I know what brought me here. You were busy with another man's husband. That's why I'm here. Now you are saying I mustn't touch. No, I will try it. In fact, I will go higher levels. My precious mothers, you are shaping the destiny of your children. A And you can shape it even better by your life. Yes, use your words, but do even something better. Use your life. How you behave is what they are learning, not just what you are saying. When the children look at you and they see how you are handling difficulties with a smile on your face, they are aware that things are not okay, but you keep showing up. You keep doing this. They might do as if they are not seeing, but they are seeing. They are watching you. And some of you might not even talk much. You don't know how to talk, but you behave in a certain way. That is a bigger message to them. And I tell you, tomorrow, you'll be surprised how they will turn out great. And they say, I had a mother. I had a mother. Yeah. Some of them have seen how some of the mothers have fallen into wrong hands and the pain it has caused to their mothers. I don't think there's any mother here who will like the same thing to repeat itself. But can I tell you for free? It might repeat itself. Except you fix your behavior. Not just to talk. Say, hey, don't do the things you see me do. Eh? You see this thing me, I didn't, because they say you must go the right way. You must, and they say, look, you can talk, they will not follow that. Sheba, the first boy died. You went for more. Now Solomon came. Now that Solomon has arrived, you are saying to Solomon, don't go for women. They will kill you. Solomon said, mommy, you know, let me try first. Let me try first for myself. And we take it from there. We'll use your life as a testimony. Praise the Lord. We love all our mothers. We know they are doing more than what is required. Especially in our land of South Africa. Unfortunately, many fathers are MIA. Missing in action. Come on. I'm giving you a new word. MIA. Oh, yes. Missing in action. And this is a message for the young men in this church. Don't be an MIA. Don't reproduce on your wife what your dad did to your mother. Be a better man. Be a better man. Decide today. I can tell you something. That you drive a car is great, but that you love your wife is greater. That you care for your children is greatest. Most young boys want to drive big cars. They have no plan of loving their wives. That's why when you give them women, they abuse them. Because growing up, they never plan on loving a woman. They plan on loving a car, buying a big house. Like their plans are material things. They are not planning with a human being. So when a human being comes, they don't know what to do with a human being. They have no clue what to do with a human. They know what to do with a car. Have you noticed that these people that destroy women, their cars are always fine? Have you noticed that their cars are nice? They know when the car is broken, they take the car, they fix the car. Have you noticed that they fix the car nice? But they can't fix the wife. I shouldn't say it. I must. The problem is, growing up, they had a dream to drive a car. They didn't have a dream to get married and to love a woman. Why? Because they didn't see that being presented to them. They didn't see a man loving a wife. They didn't see that. So it is not part of the dream. They use women for sex. They really don't love them. They don't. And it's not really that they don't want it. They don't know how to. They really don't know how to. They don't know how to. Many young men that are here, you've never seen a man love a woman properly. You've seen in movies, but like in real life, you haven't. So you are building your life with that file empty. It's an empty file. You use the woman for functions. It's a problem in our country. A serious one. Not to talk of the children. Not to talk of, have you seen yourself taking your children to school before? As young as you are, have you seen yourself walking to school with your child? And saying to your child, bye-bye, my boy, I'll see you a bit later. Have you seen that? But I'm sure you've seen yourself drive a big car. That's why when you see the child, you run away. You see, you are the one who brought this thing. Deal with it yourself. Me, I don't see this thing in my mind. They run away. They leave you with babies. They run away. They just want to do what they are seeing. And what they are seeing is, I'm enjoying myself. I'm drinking. I'm having fun. These children are going to disturb me. Do you see yourself with a family? Meaning your wife and your children. Do you see that? Do you see in your mind? Do you have such a picture? I bear you, most young men here don't have such a picture. They see a lot of money. See a big job, a big position. Yeah, they see such things. They see themselves with a lot of friends drinking, having fun, sleeping with women. Some of you have even seen yourself with three women in the same bed. You have seen, this is a very good vision. Why? Because that is what TV is showing you. And this is the young man who tomorrow must take care of another man's child, another man's daughter. Then she turns into his hands as a car, something that you just use and then you throw away. You buy another one. You use it and you throw away. Then you get another one. Oh. So I was still in school. I went to another school. And I was standing there waiting for a friend. And I saw a man come, park his car, walk his children, cross the street, went in, dropped them. I captured that. I said, my God, I want to one day drop my children at school. I captured that thing I saw from that man that day. I was in another school. I had gone there for something and I saw a man come park the car, take his children, cross the street, take them to school. I said, well, it would be nice to have children and to drop them at school, you know. I worked at the palace for 15 years. God gave me the privilege. Not all rich people are fools, you know. Most of them, very, very balanced. Very balanced. I saw plenty of them arriving in that place with the wife and the children. I saw it so many times. Sometimes I will see the father, the mother, and the father of the mother, and the grandparents. They all come together. Those images stayed in me. I said, wow, this will be nice. I mean, so I said, oh, when people have money, this is what they do. Not peanuts, real money. When people have real money, they take care of a family. They play with their boys. Oh, yeah. There's a lady I dated years ago. She was from another race. Let me say, the white woman. I dated a white woman. And while I was dating her, she told me, you know, one of these days, my dad is going to take you fishing. I said, hey? Fishing? I don't know how to fish. She said, no, he's going to teach you. But he's going to take you fishing. It didn't go far, but I caught that. Caught that. When you marry in a white family, basically the father of your wife to be, he teaches you how to be a husband to his daughter. Like he takes you on holiday. Amen. You will see these people, they'll go on holiday with their boyfriend's daughters so that they can school you. It's not that they are showing off their money. They want to know where they are putting their life investment. So they will train you how to take care of their child. They teach you. This is how I take care of my daughter. So I captured that too. Okay, so when I have a son-in-law tomorrow, I will invite him over constantly. I'll spend time with him so that he can learn how to take care of my daughter when I'm no more there. Don't just work to make money. Wherever you are working, you can learn things. God can speak to you. Maybe you didn't have the model at home, but where you are working, plenty models to learn from. Praise the Lord. So I close with these words to my mothers. Acts 1 verse 1. This is how we'll pass down something that will never end. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began, let's read together, both to do and teach. That is the right way. You do first, then you teach. Anything you teach, then you do, or you never do, but you are teaching, that one doesn't work. The key that Jesus used, Jesus didn't just talk. Things Jesus began both to do and teach. I think you teach better when you've done, actually. Like if I've cooked, I can teach the recipe better. I can teach prayer better if I have prayed. You see many people that are teaching about prayer, they've never prayed. Mothers, this is our key. Why am I using Jesus? Because the thing Jesus taught 2,000 years ago are still working. You want to teach things that will stay there for a long time, and you need to use Jesus' strategy. Do first, and then you teach. Do first. Do first. You yourself. Do it first. The more you do it, when you teach it, it has more power. It has more power. Do first. May God strengthen all the mothers. May God bless them richly. Amen. For all the good work they are doing. Amen. The little thing we gave you is nothing compared to what you do. It's just a little appreciation. We say, mothers, even though at home today, nobody will say even Happy Mother's Day to you. They rather, the first question will be, mommy, did you cry? You will hear such things. By the way, if you are here and your mother is here, today is her off day. Amen. When you go back home, please, please, take over. Even if your mother didn't come to church, but I've taught you. When you go home, say, mommy, please, sit down. The whole day you are sitting down. Amen. And you are sleeping, you are sitting down. Cook for her. Massage her feet. Massage your mother's feet. That's a good one. Massage your mother's feet. Massage her hands. Hello, somebody. Massage her back. I hope that you have a plan. Tell your neighbor, I hope you have a plan for your mother today. You are sitting here like this, and you are thinking, and you are saying, I hope when I go home, there's food. Ah! I hope you have a plan for mama for today like this. Praise the Lord. And you must tell her that you love her. That she is special. Why don't you write her a card? You might not have money, but write her a card. Mommy, you are special. I love you. You are the best mother in the world. You know, you made me who I am. I'm sorry that I don't always live up to your expectations. But mama, watch this space. I'm going to make you proud one day. One day you will be happy that you pushed me into this world. You carried me for 9 months. You will never regret it. I will make you proud, mom. Ah, that can be so nice for your mother to hear that from you. Even if you just copy what I just said, you just say, "Ah, but, boy, I was in church. I also heard it." Say, "Yeah, but I was thinking it when Pastor was saying it. I was thinking it." Hallelujah. I was thinking the same. Me and Pastor were thinking the same. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And if your father is at home, why don't you hook up with your dad and you do something for mom today? Just hook up a bit. Let's say, "Mom, let's do something for mama." Sometimes you need to kick in. Sometimes your father doesn't remember. So you can tell your father from maybe like 2 weeks, "Mom, dad, in 2 weeks' time is Mother's Day. We need to do something for mommy. What are we going to do?" Like, you bring it constantly. Most dads are not wicked. They don't just remember. And now you are not helping him. Then on Mother's Day, he's doing nothing. And the woman will become more angry at him. She will torture him more. And he doesn't know what he did. And you could have helped your dad to avoid the torture. You have joined hands with the devil to torture your father. Praise the Lord. So remind him, "Dad, it's Mother's Day next week. We need to do something for mommy. We haven't done something in a long time for mommy. What are we doing? What are you doing for mommy, dad? What are you doing for mommy on Mother's Day? Let's do something for mommy. You know, all the children can come together. What's up each other? Let's do something for mommy." Somebody must start. If nobody starts, you'll be shocked. Mother's Day will come and go. Nothing is done. Nothing is done. And the woman has 6 kids. Nothing is done. Because the children didn't come together to do something. Are you learning? Are we all learning this morning? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We are blessed. Precious people, we are very blessed this morning to have a servant of God in our midst. Hallelujah. And I want us to honor him this morning. Pastor Sipo Santa, I think. Sir, can you stand up so we can appreciate you? Let's appreciate God's servant. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We thank you for coming. We thank you for joining us. He's from Luraneng Church. Amen. In Eswatini. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you, sir. You can sit. Hallelujah. Let's celebrate the man of God. You can sit down. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Remember, this morning is our communion service. And I have spent 30 minutes just encouraging the mothers and encouraging you to love our mother. It is their day. It is their day. It is their day. So we want to, the celebration will continue after. I was telling my wife this morning, she didn't do me well. That she cut my celebration short. I ordered stuff, I planned stuff, and I heard she had to travel to Durban this morning. By the way, that is why she's not here. She traveled for work this morning with some of her people, and I had to cancel all my stuff. Praise the Lord. But I tried to spend time with her. I took her where she was going to be picked up. I stayed with her a bit longer just so that she can feel a bit special. Hallelujah. I think I'm trying. I'm actually trying. I'm trying. I think I'm trying. Yeah. I'm trying. But because, you know, women, we like scoring.
Oh, yes.
So I needed her to know that I was planning something. So I showed her the picture. I was going to do this for you. And I was also going to do this for you. Oh, she started melting like a... I said, wow, this is good. Even if I'm not going to do it, but let me take the credit for thinking of doing it. Do you understand the technology? All right, it's a very good thing. You know, when you are with a woman, you can win a lot. This is how you do it. If you're going to maybe wash the dishes, don't just go and start washing the dishes. No. You are not wise. You are new. You will score, but not enough. You want to score properly. Number one, you say, honey, I'm thinking of doing the dishes. You say, you throw that first. Do you understand? Like, that in itself, you are already hitting very, very hard. Just for the fact that you are saying you want to wash the dishes. And then you now go and start washing. It's like you've done two jobs. Meanwhile, you only did one job. Double impact. Amen? So with women, because they like conversation, so always talk first. Honey, I'm thinking of buying you a gift. You know, you have finished her. You have finished her. After that, even if you just bring a pen, it's okay. Anything you bring, it's okay. Do you understand? Women are conversational. Don't just come, you damn things. I mean, like you are new. You are not scoring. You are scoring, but you could score better. Amen. We are tending for each other, men. We are standing. I'm helping the men in the church so that we are upping our games. Precious people, I want to talk quickly to you this morning about something my father started teaching here last Sunday. And I believe this is going to be our talk this month to help us. Amen. He spoke about prolonging the usefulness of your vision and the visionary. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes.
Making sure that what started doesn't die. Let's pray quickly. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this morning for your word. Bless it in our hearts and use it to change our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. ABC crossed 10 years last Sunday. By the grace of God, we are 10 years young. Hallelujah. And look at what God has done. Bishop was saying that we are 10 years, but we look like a church of many more years. And it's true. It's true. The things God has done in 10 years are things churches live their whole life to achieve. It means God wants to take us further. Praise the Lord. Amen. But my question now is, what will happen the next 10 years? What will happen to us for the next 10 years? Who will still be here in 10 years' time? That's the real question. If you will agree with me, it is easy to get to the first position. What is hard is to keep remaining in that first position. That's the hard part. To stay longer in a thing. It's easy to start a relationship. Hi, I love you. I think I also love you. Oh, so we are in love. Yeah, we are in love. But to remain is another story. To last, that's the real battle. Are you catching it? The real battle is to last. To last. To last. Praise the Lord. And that is what I want to teach us on this month. How to last. In other words, you started it, but you need to last in the thing. You started a business. Can you last in the business? You You got a new job. We celebrated for you. You finally got a job. You waited for 5 years to get a job. Now you have a job. We thank God you now have a job. Praise God you now have a job. You see, the next thing is, how long will you keep this job? How long will you keep the job? I have learned that it is not that opportunities don't come our way. Our biggest challenge is we don't know the wisdom that it takes to keep something long enough until it starts benefiting you.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Why must you last longer in what you are doing? Number one, because it will spare you the pain of starting over again. I bought a phone now. Less than a week, the phone is broken. You know what it means? I have to buy another one. I have to go through the pain of starting over again as if I didn't have something. The only reason I'm going through this pain is because I couldn't keep long enough what I already had. The pain of starting over again is because people don't know how to keep things long enough, how to last in a thing. Brothers and sisters, the pain of starting over again with a relationship. Do you know how painful it is to even end the current one? Then the bigger pain to heal from this one, then to start again the pain of starting another one from scratch. You have to teach the person what you like. You have to teach them how you want to be treated. You have to teach them. That whole thing, you had already done it. The pain of starting over again. You kill that pain when you can keep something long enough. Why must you last in anything you are doing? The end is better than the beginning. Look, I could show you what ABC looked 10 years earlier. It wasn't like this. And this is just 10 years. 10 years ago, we didn't have a building. So truly, the longer you stay in a thing, it starts getting better. I shouldn't teach you guys this thing. The longer you stay in a thing, the longer you stay faithfully in the thing, it starts getting better. That's why you should stay longer until the thing start paying off. Doesn't look the same at the end, you know. Doesn't look the same. That's why Satan likes destroying people's destinies by making you to pull out before the end. It's very dangerous to end before the end. I just said something. A movie can be 2 hours. You end the movie at 1 hour. But that you end watching the movie after 1 hour doesn't mean the movie has ended. You ended your part of watching the movie, but the movie still has other parts. And all movies usually get better at the end. Where now you jump in the middle of the movie because you are too scared. Or because it's too painful and you are crying and you don't want to cry more. But you see, if you keep watching this movie, it's going to get better. If you watch The Passion of Christ, along the way, you will see Jesus being beaten. You will see Jesus being shouted out and you will feel bad. And you can end the movie. But if you keep watching, you will see that they kill him and then they bury him. But if you keep watching, you will see that 3 days after, he rose from the grave and it became a wonderful thing.
It became a wonderful thing. It became a powerful thing. Things get better at the end. Many a times you and I jump before the end. You jump too quickly and you miss the good part of the movie. Brothers and sisters, I'm not a movie producer, but I assure you, most movies usually end better than how they started. Sometimes they start nice, then along the way, it gets so bad. But if you keep watching the movie, before you realize, you start smiling. And before you know, you start jumping. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 8. The end of a matter is better than its beginning. Your relationship will get better at the end. Your business will get better at the end. Can I tell you this? Your life will get better at the end. It will get better. It will. The Bible, the end is better. What he's trying to say is that if you hold on and you keep doing what is right, it gets better. He's also trying to say at the end, it should usually be better. It should be better at the end. And that is what Job tells you. Job 8 verse 7 says, though your beginning was small, yet thy later end, watch it, should greatly increase. Hallelujah. So if you do things right, I say if you do things right, things should get better at the end. It should get better. Don't be fooled by how they look right now. You keep doing the right thing. Consistently. It's going to shift. Our problem is we don't sustain the wisdom required to stay at it long enough until it shifts. That's our problem. That's why I will be teaching you this month, by the grace of God, what it takes to last long. It's an art. There's a reason why in every community, if you walk in the community, you will see buildings that are abandoned. And they ask you, it used to be a school. Then you, in the same community, you will see another building that is older than the one that has been abandoned. But people are still going there. In fact, it is getting better. In the same community, one building is abandoned, another one is still being used. There's a wisdom this one used that this one did not use. That's why he's out of the race. Are you learning? Now, number one, God wants you and I to get results. Because results honor God. If I were you, I would write it down somewhere. Results honor God. Results honor God. When I send my child to school, if my child comes with good grades, I am not the one with the good grades, but I feel honored that my child brought good grades. Results honor God. Never make a mistake to think. You see, that's what happens to us. When you have failed everywhere else, then you come and hide in the church. Why? Because no, God accepts everybody. God is good. God is faithful. God doesn't have a problem. That's not true. That's not true. Now, I understand why we are saying that, because God doesn't reject anybody. But you have to understand, as a father, God also wants his children to do well. Because many of us use church to entertain mediocrity. Like, it's as if, God understands. Results honor God. which means lack of results dishonor God.
Yeah. Many a times you don't have results, not because you cannot have results. Sometimes you are lazy. Sometimes you don't manage your time well. Sometimes you don't keep to your word. Sometimes it's your character. Sometimes you know, God must not accept all these things as your, I mean, no. No. Are you still here?
Oh, yes.
The Bible says in the book of John 8 verse 7, it says, if you can give it to me real quickly, we are at the end already, actually. No, sorry, John 15 verse 8, I'm sorry. Thank you.
By this, my Father is glorified.
Can we read it together?
Yes.
Hello, church, can we read it together?
Oh, yes.
One, two, three, let's go. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciple. Much fruit simply means results. He said, get results. My Father is glorified when you get results. I thought that God said this for just anything. No. No. When your prayer life starts working, God is glorified. When every time you read the Bible, you get revelation, God is glorified. When you invite people to church and they actually come, God is glorified. When you apply for a job and you get employed, God is glorified. When you start working and you start getting promoted, God is glorified. God is glorified. God is glorified with you having a good job than with you being broke all year. God is glorified. I tried to see how what God was being glorified when I depend on people every day to borrow me money. Sometimes I have to go to my uncle to eat. I ask you, how is God glorifying that? Let's talk. I pray more than everybody. Now, how is God glorified in me depending on everybody for survival? Let's talk. How is God glorified? He said, by this my Father is glorified. This is what you should use at your verse to say, Lord, because you are glorified by results, I want you to bring results in my life so that I don't remain a person that depends on everybody in the community. You must say to him, Father, I want to glorify you. Help me. I want to glorify you. In this work, people want me to resign. In this work, people want me to lose my job. They are always plotting against me. Father, you will not be glorified if I lose this job. Because if I lose this job, I will go back to begging people. Father, defend me. You see, you are using the verse to fight. You are using the verse to fight. God is glorified when you have results. Don't trivialize results. And I want to tell you something. A lot of us don't know what it costs to have results. When you see results, you don't celebrate them. You take them lightly. You joke with them. That's why we're supposed to celebrate 10 years. And we will continue the whole month to thank God for 10 years. Because it's not easy to do church for 10 years consistently. That is a big result. And if you cannot supposed to say thank you, Lord, for this, it tells me that you will never know when God has helped you for 10 years to suppose and say, Lord, thank you for helping me in a marriage for 10 years, for helping me in a job for 10 years. It tells me that you will joke with things when you shouldn't joke with them. You always know people don't know the power of things. You just bought a sofa. Your children are already putting their legs on it. Yeah. As they are eating, their legs are on the sofa. Both legs are on the sofa. They are so cool.
They have no clue how long you took to buy the sofa. So you see, they are trivializing the result. They don't know what it takes to have it.
Are you here?
From today, when you see somebody having what you don't have, hey, appreciate the person. Say, brother, you know, I like what you do. Don't be one of those people. You see somebody doing better, you do as if it's nothing.
You pass. What is that? It's just God helping him. I mean, what is there?
Why is God not helping you? Why not? Learn to celebrate results and you will become a result person. Because you celebrate results. Somebody did hair better than you. Don't be jealous. Celebrate that hair. Somebody is getting better at work than you. Don't become jealous. Go and search him, brother. You know what? You are inspiring all of us here. You are inspiring all of us. In the family, maybe your younger sister is doing better.
Don't say, I'm the elder sister. I will never say a word to you. It is because of my prayers that you are doing well. If you don't know, I'm going to ABC. That's why you are getting your things right.
No. Pause for a second and say to her, my younger sister, you know what? You make me so proud. I'm so proud to be your elder sister. Look at what you are doing for the family. You have lifted the family name. We are all inspired by you.
It is only in Africa that we celebrate people after they've died.
It's here in Africa. After you die, come and see the tombstone. Come and see the celebration. Sometimes they spend a whole month just preparing to celebrate you. When you were alive, they didn't say a word. People that were inspired by you, people that were transformed by you, they will never say, no, you are doing very well. They will never appreciate you. Results must not be trivialized. Don't trivialize results. When you see a young girl of 25 years that's driving a car and you are 35, you don't have a bicycle, don't just say, what is there? No, 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 no. Tell her, you know, baby, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. You are a good young lady. Just to get a driver's license, some people have been trying to get a learner's for the past 15 years. Are you catching what I'm saying? Don't trivialize results. Don't trivialize results. Many pastors trivialize my results. They don't have my results. And they are not near having my results because they don't even appreciate what they are seeing. They think I'm just getting it because I'm a kwere-kwere or I'm this or I'm that. They have no clue what is going on. And they trivialize it. They take it for granted. And they never wonder, how come I don't have it? How come I don't have it? I trivialize it, but I don't have it. I don't have it. Learn to celebrate. God says, when you have result, I am happy. And I will come and tell you, my boy, you've done well. You've made me proud. As your God, I feel proud that you are calling me your God. Look at what you've done. It's great. Churches have become the cave of mediocrity. When you have failed everywhere else, you come and hide in the church. Yeah. Do you know how many pastors are dropouts? Plenty. They couldn't get it in school. They couldn't get it anywhere. They said, no, let me go for ministry. There, you don't need a lot. Open the scripture. Say hallelujah. And everything is fine. It's not like that. By this, my Father is glorified. When you bear much fruit, makona sapana. When you bear much fruit, mama, at work, you must be the best. Like, people must always say, wow, 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 wow. Because you have God. You have God. You have the life of God. Your things must be greater than everybody. If not, at least on the way.
Yeah. That glorifies God. When you are in class and you are among the last, the least, how is God glorified? You tell me, how is God glorified? Even when you preach, will they listen to you?
Do you know how powerful your preaching becomes when you are the first in every when you say subject, maths, you are number one. Geography, you are number one. When you see Jesus is good, even if they don't know Jesus, they say, I think it's true. Jesus is definitely good. They will say Jesus is good. Because your results are speaking. I say your results are speaking. From today, may your results start speaking in the name of Jesus. Your results. They glorify God. When you are not in the same place after 5 years, people can see progress in your life. People can see progress in your life. Even if they are not saying it to you and it is a mistake, I'm trying to teach you to not be like that, but they will recognize there's something there. There's something there. It's not the same. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Lungi, I can tell you. Come here. I can tell you something. Your relatives might not say it yet, but if they are honest, they can say, no, this girl, it's not the same. And it's less than 6 months. Yeah, less than 6 months. If she can open up and tell you where she was 6 months ago, and less than 6 months, look at what God is doing. Don't wait to see the money. You can already see what God is doing right now. It's there. Thank you. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Take your seat, please. We are closing. Can I tell you something? As much as God values results, it is good to have results, but it is better to have lasting results. John 15:16. We are ending here. Lasting. You did not choose me. I chose you. And I appointed you that you may go and bear fruit. Say with me, results. But then he goes ahead and says, fruit that will last. Say with me, lasting results. So you see, you must have results. But if you want to do very, very well, have what? Lasting results. Lasting results. Getting married is a result. But remaining married is a lasting result. Starting a business is a result. But keeping the business and growing the business is what? Lasting. Lasting. Having a friend is good. But keeping the friend for 5 years is what? Lasting. Having a job is great. But you see, we celebrate you for having a job today. Tomorrow you are already in hearings. And then you are signing warnings. Aloma Sakatama. You are signing warnings. You are doing hearings. Something is coming to threaten the result. That the result mustn't last. The result mustn't last. That's the devil. Lasting results. Fruit that will last. That will last. Can I tell you this? I have noticed that we spend time just trying to get things. But we don't care about the fact that we keep losing them. And you lose and you go and get again. And why don't you stop? And say, no, this thing that I got now, I got it before. And I lost it. What tells me I will not lose it again? Can I rather learn how to keep what I already have rather than going for new things? That you can keep what you already have. It's very rare today to find a girl of 20 years old that hasn't had about maybe 15 or 16 boyfriends in her life. I mean, if she was really busy, 15, 16, sometimes even more. And she has never paused to ask herself, why must I have so many like this? There's something that is not right. That's why I keep losing them. I need to have something lasting, that can lead to something. Lasting.
In this life, my brothers and sisters, longevity is more important even than creativity. Do you know that you respect an establishment based on how long the thing has been around? Yeah. Every product will tell you at the bottom, established in so. Because they want you to appreciate how long they've been around. They want you to appreciate that. As we are talking to you, we are talking with the authority of the years of experience. We know something about this. We know something about this. Even God is promising you what? He says, with long life, will I satisfy you? God knows that money will never satisfy you. You see, he says, long life, like being around long enough, is very satisfactory. Satisfactory marriage, a satisfactory life, a satisfactory business, a satisfactory career. Today you are an astronaut, tomorrow you are a cook, next week you are a teacher, the other week you are a pastor. What is this? But imagine a pastor, he's been a pastor for the past 35 years. Wow. Even if he doesn't say anything, just his track record itself is already telling you a lot of things. I've been here for 35 years. It's very powerful. It's very powerful. Are you here? A lot to tell you. You have to go online. Short-lived results as we close. 1 Kings 16 verse 15. First Kings 16:15. NLT. Check your notes. Look at this. Zimri began to rule over Israel in the 27th year of King Asa's reign in Judah. But his reign in Tisa lasted how many?
7 days.
Only 7 days. Have you ever seen somebody who is king for 7 days? Huh? You are king for 7 days. Wow. What a kingdom. It's a short-lived success that you became king. But before you can even adjust to the fact that you are not king, you are already out. When you become something, it takes time to even believe yourself that you are the thing. And while you are still trying to believe that, hey, all the money is not mine, or they say, no, it's over, go, it's finished. Zimri, can I tell you something? Some of us in this building this morning, you have a Zimric syndrome. You know, a Zimric syndrome. Anything that comes wants to leave. Ask your neighbor, do you have Zimric syndromes? And you have Zimric's behaviors? Only 7 days. Then I heard of the American president that had the shortest presidency.
His presidency was for 31 days. After 1 month, he died. And do you know why he died? Apparently, the day he was being inaugurated president, it rained. But he insisted on finishing his speech under the rain. Now he said, no, I don't want to be the first president to not finish my speech. I'll finish this speech. By the time he finished the speech, he caught a flu. And by the end of the month, he died. So you need to choose. Do you want to finish the speech and then die after a month? Or do you want to cut the speech short and live longer? Like, which one do you want?
From next week, Sunday, I will put in your hands 10 principles for lasting results. 10 principles.
Hallelujah! 10 things. 10 things that if you start doing them, every Zimric spirit will leave you alone. Alone, alone, alone. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Can you stand on your feet, please? Let's start thanking God this morning for his word. What a blessing.
I would like to make you aware that I did not say everything I wanted to say. Not even one quarter. You can find the message online on YouTube. If this message has been a blessing to you, you must know you didn't hear the whole message. Here's the whole message. Commanding lasting results. Obtaining grace to last. And we are saying this on the back of 10 years of experience at least. 10 years anniversary. This is what we can say after 10 years. To at least I can say to last 10 years. Because somebody is saying, what have you seen? Okay, I've seen some things in 10 years and I can talk for 10 years. Commanding lasting results. Our first ancestor didn't last more than 3 chapters. Chapter 1, God creates everything, including him. Chapter 2, God gives him a job. Beginning of chapter 3, everything changed. The first question God ever asks a human being, where are you? You don't ask that question unless somebody is no more where he's supposed to be. Something has changed. Somebody didn't last. Watch Adam. He was in the garden for just 2 chapters. By chapter 4, he's out of the garden forever. So we are not starting well. We are starting with an ancestor that couldn't last 3 chapters. It tells you our tendency is to not last. We don't last. We don't last. You start a business. I've seen many car wash on this street. A person hasn't even come here to park. You're already closing the business. Last. It should be such a shame if just after 2 years, there's no more ABC. Think Satan is happy that Adam is in the garden enjoying himself? No, he's preparing a serpent. Preparing a serpent. The job of the serpent is to make you to not last. There's a poison that the thing will inject in your body and you will not live long. If you let the serpent come, the marriage will not last. The body will not last. The business will not last. But God gave us a promise. He says the seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent. And that seed was Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the seed of the woman. because a woman doesn't have a seed. The seed is with a man. But here is a woman with a seed, because the Holy Ghost was the seed in her. And that seed had crushed the serpent, meaning things can start lasting in your life. He says, I give you life everlasting. Everlasting. It must last forever. I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly forever. The thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they might have life. I want you to look at your life. Do you see things last? Do you last with friends? Do you keep friends for do you have friends for 5 years? Some do, praise God. Majority of us, you might find, we make friends easily. We equally lose them easily. I know people in this community that have a new job almost every month. It's a new job. Lasting. We need to pray and trust God that a power can come from heaven today that will touch you and things will stop dying in your hands, dying in your life. Man, it pains my heart, you know. Every black child starts as an orphan. We celebrate the ancestors and I thank God for them. But what do we have? Every black child has to build his first house as if there was nobody behind him. What's your life? How many of you have inherited a home from your father? If you'll have a house, you have to build it yourself. We are starting as if we are orphans already. You know why? And each one of our ancestors, they will not tell you they were living on the street. They had a home. It didn't last. It didn't last. It didn't last. We start as if we have nothing. And I want to tell you, if you and I are not careful, that's what you're going to give over to the next generation. They will start as if there was nothing before them. There's a power that causes a person to start being established. And all of the sudden, things start staying. They stay. People stay. They live. Things stay. And they can be passed down. There's a power that does that. If that power is not with you, there'll be nothing to give. You would have lived your life. By the time you are closing your chapter, there's nothing to pass down. Let's trust God this morning that the grace of God can rest on you today and you will receive power from God, that you will not be like those that came before you. No. When you clear, there'll be a lot of things. Your children will not start from scratch and their children will not start from scratch. There's a power that does that. Close your eyes, please. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word that has come to help us, to bless us. In the name of Jesus. Father, I pray right now for everybody that is here. We need your power. We need the seed to break the head of the serpent that has ravaged our homes and rubbishes our effort. We always start as if we've never done anything. Many people here are hardworking, but they have nothing to show for it. Their life is ending as if they didn't have a life in the first place. Father, we believe that this word did not come to condemn us. It has come to guide us, to show us the way. In the name of Jesus, I pray for my brother and my sister. Holy Spirit, touch now every heart, every soul, everybody in this building, oh Jesus, where the serpent is already working to destroy, to cause things to not last, to cause things to die before the time, to cause the movie to end before while the movie is still on. Father,
In the name of Jesus, I pray for every life under the sound of my voice that is controlled by the serpent's power. Let the seed destroy it right now in the name of Jesus. We plead the blood on every life. Father, because you live in us, we believe things will stop dying in our hands. There will be longevity in the name of Jesus. Now, while every eyes are closed and all heads are bowed, I want to pray for a few people. You know very well that this message concerns you. I want to pray with you. Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus. The seed that destroys the head of the serpent. The seed that crushes the serpent and causes things to start happening permanently. I need Jesus in my life. I want to pray for a few people that are ready to surrender their life to the living Christ. If that is you, at the count of three, you're going to raise your right hand. Say, Pastor, pray with me. I want the seed, Jesus, to come into my life. And I'll pray with you. And God is going to help you. When you hear three, do not hesitate. Raise your right hand. And God will do you good. One. Two. Three. You can raise your right hand. God bless you. 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 You can take your hands now. Now, you are already born again. You are already born again, but you want to recommit your life to the living Christ. You want His power to start working. Power of the Word to start working in your family. Right now, you can allow Jesus. He says, I stand at the door of your heart and knock. If you open, I'll enter. You can allow Him right now to enter into your heart and to make all things new. At the count of three, Pastor, I want to recommit my life to Jesus. I also would like to pray for you. One, two, three. You can raise your right hand. Pastor, pray for me. God bless you. Bless you. Bless you. I want to recommit. Bless you. I want to recommit. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Thank you so much. You can take your hands down. Father, we thank you for these lives that are coming to you now. Now, if you've raised your hand for the first and the second time, I'm going to ask you to do something for me that I always ask people to do. You need to commit. I'm going to ask you to take a step of faith and come and join me in front here so I can pray with you. You want to recommit to Jesus? You want to give your life to Jesus? Come and join me to the front so I can pray with you. If you raise your hand, make your way. Come. Come. Let's keep clapping our hands and encourage them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Would you please raise your two hands like this? Now you're going to repeat after me these blessed words. Mean them from the depths of your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. Please forgive me my sins. Wash me with your blood. I believe you died for me. On the third day you rose again, that I might be justified. Right now, I believe my sins are forgiven. I'm justified by your blood. I'm saved. I'm restored. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I am free from the power of sin to serve the living God.
Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for restoring me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. From today, I choose to live for you. I decide from today, let my life bring you glory. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for each one of these precious ones that have come here today. Your grace has brought them to this place. May the same grace preserve them all the days of their lives. May power be injected in their spirit right now, and even in the congregation, to last long. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. May God bless you. Remember to subscribe to receive our latest service notifications and to share the link. You can also watch our pastor, Pastor Pascal, live on our Facebook page, Alive Bible Church HQ, or on our YouTube channel, Alive Bible Church SA. Remember, you are alive to give life.